A $15 drop in the cash this week. How are the markets reacting to that? And more information coming out for the cattle. Good afternoon. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. Mike Zuzulo joins us today. Mike, of course, with Global Commodity Analytics. And Mike, to see the cash take that big of a drop, all on the word of a plant closure and a shift change at another plant, it's kind of rocked the cattle world this week.
It has, but I think that what we saw on Tuesday's trade gives us some hope here in terms of the structure of the market, Susan. And I think that the plant issues and those news headlines certainly giving the market the idea that we're going to have ample, if not burdensome, near-term supplies, and that's the market talking, not me, in other words. I think the other thing that would add to that is the confirmation of the zero tariff for Brazilian beef. Those two things seem to hit at once at the end of last week. And so we saw Tuesday a shift in the market mindset in that not only did we not go limit down or finish limit down, we saw the deferred contracts strengthen and literally pull up the front end contracts. And so what I saw Tuesday was the market trying to differentiate between these thought about burdensome near-term supplies versus very tight supplies. Where do those very tight supplies come from? The cattle on feed report. And so I think Tuesday we finally turned a corner and started looking at supply demand fundamentals in that the October 25 versus October 24 placements for 1,000 head feedlots for the less than 600 pound all the way to the 8 to 899s were all down anywhere from 11 to 12%, except for the 7 to 799 numbers. They were down about 8.2%. But I would call this, we're now in peak placements territory for this cattle cycle, and that we should, by the first or middle of January, start to go back below 11.5 million head on feed. And I think that's kind of the key number to be that I'm going to be watching out for. But pulling it back to Tuesday's trade, not only did we see the bear spread and the supply differential take shape and hold into the close, even with what you said, which is spot on, we still have a cash fat cattle market that's sitting around 217 versus a futures $10 below it. Feeders even worse, 340 on the CME feeder cash index last number versus a futures that got down to 304 in lead month as of the limit down close on Monday. So I think this is one of the big reasons why the feeders were able to show some leadership qualities to the upside on Tuesday. Number one, those placements numbers from the on feed report and the fact that feeders now have fallen about 20% from their highs back in 2014, 2015, which I'm still using as my model year in this cycle. We only went down about 14% from the October high to all the way to the December low. So we've done more than enough of a correction in my book, whether you look at it from a fund perspective or whether you look at it from the supply demand in the on-feed numbers.
Do you think the hog market, Mike, might be ready to pounce and take advantage and say, hey, we're going into the holiday, come look at us for prices?
It should be, but the bellies, while they are trying to find some support, the hams have shown no signs of bottoming yet, and that has been a big surprise for me. I would have thought that the hams would be getting a lot of business. But then when I looked at the sales this week, you know, no longer are the days where you buy a turkey and get a free ham. This is one of those markets where we're going to have to navigate our way through, keep one eye on China, keep the other eye on the fact that USDA cut that 2025 production number by 905 million pounds, or 2026, I should say. That number is a big, big number. That was over a 3% cut in 1 month, and that just has not been dialed into these markets yet. And I think the hog market, I would classify it, Susan, as not needing to go any lower unless China shows even weaker deflationary and economic data. We should be carving out a low in those hogs.
You know what I find interesting, Mike, is we switch gears to go over to the grains, and I think there have been a lot overshadowed by what's been happening this week in the cattle complex, but there's not a lot of talk about Ukraine and this peace deal, supposedly, with Russia, with the push from the Trump administration.
No, but it is being priced in through the wheat and through the crude oil. And when we got to see each other in person last week, we had talked about this positive relationship between the wheat, soft red especially, and the WTI crude oil market, and that positive relationship being so strong on a five-week basis that as of Tuesday, it was hitting close to plus 85% with them running together that closely. Those two represent the 2026 oversupply narrative in these commodity markets the best, Susan. And they also represent the Ukrainian-Russian peace process and the U.S. influence on it. And so we saw a big contrast in Tuesday's trade. Wheat had originally fallen with the crude oil market, was the leader to the downside, in fact. But then by the time we got the strong producer price index number and then also the weaker retail sales number, those two teamed up and took the dollar down to and the index down to a new monthly low. That, I think, breathed new life into the wheat market and allowed the wheat market to diverge from the crude oil. We actually did make new daily highs in the soft red wheat. I was kind of disappointed we didn't take out the 529 high from the 24th. That would have been, you know, Monday's high, and that would have been a new weekly high. I'll be watching for that before Thanksgiving to try and hopefully change some of the sentiment and the momentum indicators.
And that South American planting just continues to trickle along.
Yeah, it does. And the trade is very nervous, though. As we talked about last week also, I think that we pulled the South American weather ahead by about 2 weeks. I think that's fair to say now that we've traded this week because South American weather is being looked at hard by a lot of people I talk to. It's price supportive right now, but there's supposed to be quite a bit of a change in the driest areas of Argentina and southern Brazil to try and heal up everything just in the nick of time. But if they would miss those key rains at this stage of the game with what Argentina's already not been able to plant because of being too wet in other areas, I think that weather market could be something to be really watching for when we come back from the Thanksgiving holiday especially.
All right, sounds good. Mike Zuzulo joining us today. A quick reminder, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss not suitable to all investors. That's the Tuesday market wrap-up right here on the American Ag Network.